Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. We'll read the resurrection account according to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. We'll stop right there with the reading and go to the message, since we don't have much time. All of the music took up the time this morning. You won't have to hear me preach as much. But it is a good thing that we can celebrate the resurrection of Christ, isn't it? And so I have a few things I'd like to share with you about the resurrection. And in gist, we can bring to the point those things that are significant in this short passage, these 10 verses. First, there is the announcement. The risen Christ is announced to the women by an angel. There is an announcement of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is risen. Hallelujah. Well, we have sung those words this morning. The choir sang them, and we also sang them. He is risen. Hallelujah. And so we find that the joy of the resurrection is in this, that Christ is risen from the grave and that he had power or victory over sin and over death. And so the angel gives the announcement to the women as they come early in the morning on the first day of the week to give certain recognition of the body, in that they wanted to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he died. When he died, there was no time for the anointing, seeing that the Sabbath day was upon them. And there must be those preparations for the Sabbath on Saturday. And so we find that the Lord Jesus was resurrected upon the first day of the week. And as we read here in the chapter, beginning with verse 1 of 28, chapter 28, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And so they came that morning that they might see where the Lord had been laid, and that they may obtain some entrance, that they might anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. Well, it doesn't tell us how they expected that they could enter the tomb, since the tomb had a great stone put upon it, and it was also sealed that there might not be any disturbance of the grave of the Lord Jesus. But we find that they went anyway. Such is the devotion of those who were truly devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ as his disciples. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary also was very devoted, and they decided to come that morning, early in the morning, before the day had break, and that they might anoint the body of the Lord. You know, our devotion is also shown by what we do. And you might want to take a little check once in a while to see how you are doing in the area of your devotedness to Christ. As you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, so you should also live for the Lord Jesus Christ. These women came early in the morning that they might show their devotion to the Lord and they might anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the women came to the gravesite where Jesus was laid. It was dawning of the day at sunrise. We met this morning at 7 o'clock. Well, we was a little bit late to see the sun just coming up. It was a little bit earlier than we came. But as we were standing out here in the parking lot, and we had all gathered together, the sun was just so bright and beautiful upon us and was warming us, even though it was quite cool. Each of us were warmed by the sun. And we enjoyed that time together. And I think the important thing is that we remember is that the first day of the week is the Christian's memorial of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to try to remember that when it comes the first day of the week. When it comes to Sunday, which is the first day of the week. Remember that is the Christian's memorial of the Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection. And so when you take observance of the Lord's Day on Sunday, when you take observance of going to church, take observance of having your devotion to the Lord on the Lord's Day, you are remembering the Lord until He come again. Because it is the Christian's memorial of the resurrection of Christ. It is the first day of the week. It is that day that the Marys came, the women came to the tomb first, and that they found that there was someone there. It wasn't the Lord Jesus. It was an angel. And there was a certain announcement given by the angel. And so as we read here, verse 2 and following, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow." And he was a brilliant creature of God that God had sent. And verse 4, "And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." And so those who were set at watch to watch the grave of the Lord Jesus Christ, that nobody should steal away the body of the Lord, they were in great fear and trembling at the appearance of this angel with his radiance about him and his white gleaming clothing. As he came from the Lord of glory, so also should the glory of the Lord shine through him. And so we find that there was an angel there to speak and to give announcement. In verse 6, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay." And so we find that the angel gave the announcement that the Lord was not there. You know, God gives His own revelation. Man does not have to make up stories about the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have to go about making claims about the Lord that are somehow fabricated. No, there are claims that are made, but they are made by divine revelation. They are made through the Word of God, through God's very revelation that God gives to man, that otherwise man would not know save that God gave it. And we find that the angel came to make that announcement that particular morning. It was the announcement. And by the way, you have the announcement here recorded for you as well. You do not have to take somebody else's word for it. Take God's word for it. You do not have to assume, rather, that somebody knows just what took place and you have to find that somebody to take some particular account of it. No, God gave you the announcement right here. He gave you what you need to know. And so you can find it yourself right in God's Word. By the way, the Bible is still the best seller. And no, it isn't in the cellar. At least it shouldn't be. No, it is the best seller. It is the number one best book that has ever been on the market. And before there was a time for it to go into a Christian bookstore, it was the number one sought after book because it is the Biblos. It is the Word of God. It is the inspired record. You have it right here. It's you have it in your hands. You can take God's word for it. That's the announcement that the angel gave to Mary. I'm speaking for God to you, the angel said. He is not here. He is risen. Alleluia. You should rejoice, he said. You should rejoice. Secondly, the appointment. The appointment. As we read on here in verse 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. There was an appointment. Jesus made an appointment with his disciples. He gave an announcement to the angel, and now he's made an appointment. Well, you get an appointment at the doctor's office too, right? Only the problem with that is sometimes after you get there, you still have to wait another 45 minutes to get in. But with Jesus, the appointment was set. And Jesus was going to keep that appointment with his disciples. And after he met with his disciples, he would be with them some 40 days after. Well, on the earth, after he had resurrected, he would be with them some 40 days. You know, the Lord has a wonderful appointment for us. The appointment is with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's appointment with us is with his Son. And he will not leave you nor forsake you in your relationship to him. It is an appointment that will be kept. And we find that the women came that morning that they might be tending to the Lord's body, but they find out that through this announcement of the angel, it wouldn't be that they were going to just attend to the Lord's body. They would go and see the Lord. They would see him. You know, you can see him too by faith. By faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith can see where man in his eyesight cannot see. Faith can lay hold upon the promises of God where man cannot reach out and touch them. Faith can gather to oneself those things that are most important. When man has trouble hanging on to the so-called important things of life, such as wealth and possessions. But when our true treasure is laid up in heaven by the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that we not only have a divine appointment with him, we have a great security in him. One far greater than the security that the Social Security office gives us, or a paycheck, or any personal gain that we might lay aside. And so there was an angelic appointment, and that appointment came through the angel's mouth that Jesus would see his own disciples and that they must go into Galilee and there they would find him. The angel's clothing, as I already said, was white. It was bright. It was glorious. He was a lightning-like figure. You couldn't miss him. You know, this is the other thing, too. When God seeks us out, we can't miss God. You know, some people are out there hunting for God, and they're hunting for God in all kinds of things, but they seem to be looking in all the wrong places. We have his revelation. We have the appointment book. We just need to come to him, and he will show himself to us. And so if you haven't done that, do it. Because it's an appointment you don't want to miss. Those who kept the tomb were in trembling and fear, but not so with the ladies. We find verse 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. There was mixed emotions. there was some sense of not knowing what was going to happen. But this fear that the women had was also coupled with joy. The joy of the Lord. And we find that God meant for the women to have this kind of fear because it was one that could be a companionship to joy. Have you ever been afraid and happy at the same time? Well, don't you suppose some of their fear was they didn't know exactly where they was going to find him in Galilee, but they were excited with the thought of it. And there was some sense of fear about that, but at the same time, they were overwhelmed with the message that they received from the angel, and they had great joy in their hearts. And they said to themselves, can it be that the Lord has resurrected when we see him in Galilee? And so they want to immediately go and to see the Lord. And so as the angel comforted the women, he comforted them. And he told them not to be afraid. He said, recognize that God is with you. Well, verse 5 says, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. So we know that the fear that the ladies had wasn't the same as the fear that the keepers of the tomb had. It was different. The angel tells them, well, don't be afraid. Not like the others who are afraid. In verse 4, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became dead men. You know, they were like dead men. They were in complete astonishment and were terrified because they had not faith. But the women had faith. So there was a divine announcement. There was a divine appointment. And then there was the incident. The incident. What was the incident? The Lord is risen. He is risen from the grave. He is not here. I mean, the fears of the establishment, the religious establishment, as well as the political establishment, was that somehow somebody would come and steal away the body of the Lord and say that he is still alive. And so what did they do? They put a great stone against the sepulcher and they sealed it. They sealed it by watchers or keepers, soldiers, who were there upon pain of death. If anything were to happen, that they would be held accountable. And they sealed it against anybody coming and disturbing the body of the Lord. But what does God do? In one fell swoop, he causes an earthquake by an angel. The angel comes back and just topples that stone upon the ground and he sets on it. And there he is, his very presence, astonishing to everybody around them, bright as lightning, glorious as heaven itself, and he speaks for God. The incident was one that was orchestrated of God. It was not an accident. It was an incident. One of which God did make particular manifest due to his own only begotten Son that he sent to be the Savior of the world. And that it was said of him that he should die and that he should resurrect upon the third day according to the scriptures. And so this became that one particular incident that would mark forever for the Christians, for the true disciples of Christ, the hope that they had in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was their Lord and Savior, their true Messiah of God, the true anointed Christ. He had come. He is risen. Alleluia. And so we find that God brought all this to pass upon his own desire and will, that he might save and that he might redeem his people. In verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail, O joy, great rejoicing, the time has come. I am standing before you as the risen Christ. And so Jesus meets the women as they are on their way. And he greets them with this great joyful greeting. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. You can just imagine them falling down before him and hanging on to his ankles, as it were, and just praising the Lord that he was alive. And with great joy and thanksgiving, they did worship him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And so where does he go? He goes back to his brethren who are in Galilee. And he says, I will meet you there, and I will greet you. And so he did. And so he found them there and had fellowship with them and revealed himself to them and opened their eyes to him and their understanding of him. You know, even though we know the Lord, we need to have those kinds of things take place in our life too. We know the Lord because the scripture tells us of him. But do you not also need to have your heart opened to him? Who is going to open your heart to him save the Lord himself? He is going to open your heart. Go to him. Seek him out. Ask him to open your heart to those things that you need to know about him. And he will do that. He will open your understanding. Did the disciples understand everything in a moment? No. They even walked with the Lord. They was with him daily. They had company with him constantly. They lodged with him and ate with him. And they did not know everything when they were upon the earth, though they called him the Christ, though they followed him as the true Lord and Master. And yet even after, we find that Jesus met with them more than once and he talked with them. There were two on the road to Emmaus that he conversed with and had conversation with. And they didn't know him, though they should have known him. And he had to open their understanding. And he expounded the scriptures unto them. Why do we attend unto the ministry of the word? At church, at home, in our personal devotion, that we might have further communication with the Lord. God the Holy Spirit is able to teach us. Allow that he will teach you by attending to those things. And he will open your understanding. There was a divine announcement. There was a divine appointment. There was a divine incident, which also revealed itself in that Jesus himself appeared to them. And in his appearance to them, he would further open their hearts and understanding to the word of God. And that is what it's all about. To be a part of a church fellowship. That's what it's all about. That our hearts might be opened to the Word of God and to the understanding that God the Holy Spirit can give to us through His Word. And so I encourage you to be faithful in attendance wherever you go. And faithful in your Bible reading and faithful in your devotion to Christ. For it is those things that will bless you. And you will find fellowship in Christ in. And it is all because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For he is risen. Alleluia. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you, Lord, that you bless us in your word. As we read your word. As we study your word. As we hear your word. We thank you that you are involved in entering into our very lives. And that even your scriptures tell us that you come into our lives and we come into your very life. But it is you, Lord, who have initiated that great work in us first, that we may also reciprocate in fellowship with you. Bless, we pray, in all these things, for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.